Amen. So we're going to, specifically, we're going to be looking, or at least our text, if you want a text this morning, will be Mark 13, verse 13, about enduring to the end. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. So we begin a section of this gospel according to Mark where we hear the Lord Jesus Christ talking about the end times, when he comes again, when the Lord will bring his people to be with himself in glory. I've been a Christian now for 55 years. 55 years ago, last month, I was a believer. I came to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that seems a very, very long time ago. But one of the things that happened to me when I was a young Christian, and to be honest, it's been happening to me ever since, is that people have come up to me and said, look at the times in which we're living in. Surely the Lord will come again. And there's been so much, there's wars, the evils in the world. Now, this is 55 years ago, people were saying this to me, and the Lord hasn't come yet. Somehow, perhaps the world's going to have to get worse and more ungodly and more ungodly. But we need to remind ourselves that the Lord is going to come again. He might come, indeed, lunchtime, tomorrow, next year, next decade, next century even, perhaps. But it's all in God's timing. It's God's will. God the Father knows the time and the day and the age. But we need to be prepared, don't we? We need to be ready for when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. When God himself puts a line under this world and says, this is enough. And yet, as we read these passages of the Lord Jesus Christ speaking about wars and rumors of wars, of earthquakes and natural disasters that are happening, and the sufferings and the persecutions that are happening to his people, we need to perhaps remind ourselves that these things have been going on ever since man walked on earth. There's been wars and there's been rumors of wars, as we find in Mark chapter 13 and 7 to 8. But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, says Jesus, do not be troubled, for such things must happen. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles. And then Jesus says these words, these are the beginnings of sorrow. They aren't the end of sorrow. And what are we looking at today? We're looking at wars, aren't we? And rumors of wars and threatenings. And we're finding these natural disasters, earthquakes and tsunamis and all this sort of stuff. But this is still yet the beginning. And if you read your history books, you'll read of the famines that were in the world. You'll read of the wars of the world. If you read your Bibles, you'll discover that it's all due to sin. Sinful human beings without Jesus. And from early days, there have been those earthquakes and those natural disasters, as Jesus tells us. But again, it's because we live in a fallen world, a world that's not perfect. It was perfect, and God had declared it to be perfect. But then sin came into the world, didn't it? And from early days, there has been that suffering and that persecution of those who loved Jesus, those who loved God, those who wanted to worship God. Right from the very beginning, we see it right at the beginning of our Bibles, don't we? Genesis chapter 4 and verses 3 to 5, Cain and Abel. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. And we know what happened. We know that Cain had killed Abel, because Abel was worshipping the Lord. And Jesus says, after 2,000 years, this is still true of what Jesus says, these are the beginnings of sorrow. So let's go to this passage from verse 5 to verse 13 and pick out some of the things that Jesus is telling us here and warning us of. And the first is this: do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. That's Mark 13 and verses 5 and 6. And Jesus, answering them, began to say, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and will deceive many." When I was a student in university and involved in the Christian Union, those years ago, there was something that was plaguing the university and something was plaguing the Christian Union. And it was a group of people called, well, we called them the Moonies. And Dr. Moon, who was a Korean, claimed to be Christ. He claimed to be Christ returned on earth. And basically, he was a real nuisance. We tried to do evangelism in the university, and the Moonies always seemed to be there first with their literature. And quite a few, sadly, students were sucked into this. But he's just one of many people who have claimed to be the Messiah. There are various African Christian cults that you can read about on the internet, where their leaders perhaps don't claim to be Messiah, but they claim to be messianic. And they're being treated as a kind of Messiah to their followers. And of course, there's also a false theology that's around. I've said this before in the past, but there was a certain bishop in the 1950s who, having preached and wrote a book, claiming that the Lord Jesus Christ has already come again, and that he came again at Pentecost in the form of the Holy Spirit. Well, that's not what the Bible says. It says that Jesus will come again. And when Jesus comes again, no one's going to miss it. We will all realize that Jesus has come again. Full stop. There'll be no doubting. There'll be no ifs, buts, and maybes. We will all know that he has and he will come again. Let me just throw some verses out to you. There's the passage here in Mark 13 and verse 24 and 27, which we haven't yet read, but we'll get to it at some point. "But in those days, says Jesus, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars of heaven will fall, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man," the Messiah, Jesus, "coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest part of the earth to the farthest part of heaven." When Jesus comes, when he comes, every person will see him. But we're also told in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, which I confess is one of my favorite verses, that not only will every eye see him, present time, but all those who have died will see him as well, even those who pierced him. Revelation 1 verse 7, "Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him." Why will they mourn? Well, it will be sad. It'll be those who haven't the Lord Jesus Christ, their Savior, those who have not bowed the knee and proclaimed him as their Lord and God. And ends that verse, doesn't it? "Even so, amen." So do not be deceived. But then secondly, if you know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, then you will know this, that you will be hated for loving Jesus, hated for having Jesus as your Savior and Lord, having Jesus, the name of Jesus even on your lips. And our Lord Jesus Christ said the same thing, warning his disciples of what will happen. Mark 13, verse 9 and verse 13. Well, verse 9, but watch out for yourselves, for they will deliver you up to councils. He's talking there probably of the Sanhedrin and perhaps the Roman authorities of that day. And you will be beaten in the synagogues. And you will be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them. And verse 13, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. And don't you find that strange? We have the greatest good news. We've been thinking about this all morning. We have the greatest good news. We can be rescued from hell and God's wrath and God's anger. And we want to declare it and say, there is a way of salvation. The problem of sin, the problem of our ungodliness is dealt with. And his name is Jesus. But we're hated for it. Don't you find that strange? Well, Jesus says this is what's going to happen. All the true people of God are going to be hated by the world because of Jesus. And yet it is the greatest of good news, isn't it? Jesus saves to eternal life. Jesus is the means of salvation. And by now you know what that means. Jesus is the answer to the world's problems. Why is the world in the mess that it is? Well, it's due to sin. Well, how can that sin problem be dealt with? Well, it can only be dealt with by Jesus. And Jesus is the eternal life, isn't he? It is only through Jesus that there is eternal life with God in heaven. And this is what Jesus said. John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus spoke to them again, to the crowd, saying, I am the light of the world. Because the world is in darkness because of sin, isn't it? But Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. That's what Jesus declared. He declares in other ways, doesn't he, that he is the only way of salvation. And the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But even if we suffer for our faith, even if we suffer because we name the name of Jesus, even if the whole world hates us, even if governments fight against us, we must proclaim it. We must proclaim him. Jesus is Lord and Savior. There is no other way, no other name given under heaven, but whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only reconciler between ourselves and Holy God. And he became that when he died upon that cross at Calvary. But then a third thing that Jesus tells us, and it's this, that we are to endure to the end. Let's go back to Mark chapter 13 and verse 13. And you shall be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. You know, to become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is not an end in itself. I like to think of it really as a beginning. But to become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is not an end in itself. It's not like the student friend I had many years ago who told me that now he's become a Christian, he can get on with the rest of his life. That's never true. When you become a Christian and believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got a journey in your life, a journey of faithfulness and obedience and of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to live our lives for Christ. The very moment of our coming to faith, the very moment of our conversion, to the very moment of our death, it should be in service to the Lord. It should be in following the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to endure whatever the world throws at us, whatever life throws at us, we are to endure this to the end. We are to keep on keeping on with Christ. Our journey is a life to be lived in Christ, to Christ, for Christ, by Christ. If we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, our very lives should be surrounded by a faithfulness and a service and obedience to Jesus. And we are to live our lives until that time, until the Lord comes again or the Lord takes us to be with himself. And that's what Paul tells us. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 to 8. Probably, perhaps I could say almost certainly, Paul's last letter. He writes to his dear brother in the Lord, Timothy, and he's in prison. He's expecting to be executed for his faith. How does he express his life? How does he express the end? He sees it in terms of a race, doesn't he? A journey, that he's finished the race. Let's hear what he says to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That's the way to finish one's life, isn't it? To have fought the good fight, to have finished the race, to have kept the faith. And then he says, verse 8, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And Paul is saying, I'm not special. It's not just a crown for me. It's a crown for all. All who love Jesus. All who are on that journey with Jesus. All who will finish the race with Jesus. All who will be enduring to the end will receive from the Lord eternal life. Will receive heaven. But starting and finishing are the two most important things in the Christian life. When you come to the Lord, when you become his, that's the beginning. And when you come to the end of your life and you are still praising and you're still worshiping and you're still loving and you're still wanting to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, that's finishing the race, isn't it? But as believers, and we probably all know this, really, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are capable of not serving our Lord as we should. We are capable of doing some stupid things, wrong things, ungodly things. We can go against our conscience sometimes. We can go even against God the Holy Spirit and do things that we should not do. We can be like Peter. I find Peter great encouragement. There's Peter. He denied the Lord three times, didn't he? In that period when the Lord Jesus Christ had been arrested. He denies his Lord Jesus three times. And what does Jesus do? Does he get his notebook out and say, well, you denied me three times, Peter, so I'm going to cross you off my book. You're no longer in my address book, Peter. You're finished. Well, we've all been like Peter, haven't we? Perhaps we haven't been quite as bad as Peter. Perhaps we haven't quite denied the Lord Jesus Christ, but we've been pretty close at times, haven't we? What does Jesus do? What does God the Father do? Well, he doesn't strike us off because we're his. We belong to him. He will take us to the end. We are to endure to the end. But we're able to endure to the end because of God the Holy Spirit who preserves us to the end. That's important. And the two important things in our lives are the beginning of our Christian walk and our finishing. And in between, we can be pretty terrible servants, can't we? We can be backslidden a long way. We shouldn't be, and we should be focusing and serving and loving and being obedient to the Lord Jesus. We shouldn't be backsliders. We shouldn't be like Peter. But if you are the Lord's, you're going to get there to the end. You will finish. It's the finishing that counts, isn't it? It's the finishing that takes us into glory. Well, how do you finish well with Jesus? Very simply, I'm going to give you three things and say, first of all, it's how we started with Jesus. How did we start with Jesus? Well, we started by believing in him, didn't we? That this Jesus is who he says he is. He is the Son of God, who became the Son of Man, who became the Lamb of God, who died on the cross in our place. How did we begin with Jesus? We trusted in him. We trusted that his death on that cross at Calvary was the means in which our sins were forgiven, the means in which we had peace with God, the means in which we became the very children of God. And how did we start with Jesus? Well, we believed in him, we trusted in him, and we followed him, didn't we? We read the scriptures, we came and joined God's people. We wanted to be servants of Jesus. Jesus, we wanted to be his disciples. We wanted to follow what he says and do what he tells us. That's how we finish well. Believing, trusting, and following the Lord Jesus. And yet we can say this, I think, that we are no more saved to eternal life as when we first believed. Hopefully we're better prepared. Hopefully we know a great deal more about the Lord Jesus. Hopefully we have a greater experience of what it means to be a child of God in this fallen world. But we're no more eternally saved than when we first believed. But we are to finish well. We are to endure to the end with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ upon our dying lips. That's the great goal of life, isn't it? That when we come, when life is taken away from us, the name of Jesus will be on our lips. And we can still praise him, even in the midst of death, knowing that because of him, heaven awaits eternal life with the Lord. Amen.